Well, we're going to get jumped into the new year. It's the second day of the year already, so I hope everybody's hasn't messed up yet, right? Hasn't anybody messed up yet? Hope not. Okay. Anyway, name of my message is Pressing Through in 22. When I went to Happy Church, Marilyn Hickey, her husband pastored the church. They pastored together, and she'd always name her year, and this kind of jumped out to me this year, Pressing Through in 22. You know, as you name your year, you just kind of focus on that and kind of see how things start to come into focus for us. Amen? Okay, so as we're in this new year, we want to get started off, you know, hopefully on the right foot. Today is not about past failures or achievements by which we can either build on or build from, but it's really what's ahead of us just around the corner that's coming into view, because I believe that God is revealing some things to each of us, amen? Some things that we want to see accomplished this coming year. And we're not going to talk about getting into works righteousness, because sometimes that can happen, but we're talking about works of righteousness. There's a difference. You know, when you're into works righteousness, that means, hey, God, look at me. Look what I can do, God. Look what I'm doing for you. But works of righteousness is, hey, God, look what you're doing through me. And see, we need to keep that focus. If not, we mess up. Meaning, so we want to do it for God's grace and for God's glory. And so as we start 2022, I want us to remember that it's onward and upward and not backward and downward. Amen? Okay. So we're going to look at a fairly large passage, not bad, here in Philippians, and then I'm going to break it down a little bit. We're going to pick up where we left off last year, right, in Philippians 3, and we're going to continue on a little bit just for this week, and then we'll do something different probably coming up here in the next few weeks. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 to 20, I read from the New American Standard. It says, and this is Paul talking to the church there through the Holy Spirit. It says, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard by which we have attained. Brethren, join me in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Then here's a warning. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven. From also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the special stirring of the Holy Spirit here today. I thank you for that anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Lord, we sacrifice all those heathen cows, Lord, those idols in our life. We put them to death now in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you for the anointing that you placed upon my life, the gift you put inside of me. I ask you to stir it, and Lord, I just want to yield to it in Jesus' name. I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate and bind the devil in any way, shape, or form he tries to steal the word out of our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so as we start off, we're going to start off with the bad news, okay? Then I want to get to the good news. I want to leave us on that. But we're going to look at verses 18 to 21st, which kind of give a warning about what not to do. And to me, it's wisdom to learn from other people's mistakes, you know? I was a little boy. I remember one time I was warming up the, helping my grandma, at least I thought I was. I think we was warming up the bottle for my sister. And I went to check the burner on the stove and I put my hand on it. I wish I'd have learned that from somebody else. You know what I'm saying? I burnt my hand. Now there's other things when people told me don't do that, you know, like lick a light socket, you know, or something like that. Yeah, I'm a fast learner. I knew enough not to do that, you know, learn from their mistakes. So we're going to look at first at the idea of what a carnal Christian is. Hopefully don't have anybody here today. Anybody that came out with this, you know, as cold as it was, I surely wouldn't be a carnal Christian today, right? You know, only the spiritual ones come out today. So it says in, starting in verse 18, and we'll go down to verse 20, it says, for many walk, of whom I often told you and now telling you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame. Here's what they do. Who set their minds on earthly things. And then he goes on to bring a little correction. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we all eagerly wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I kind of feel like we need to pray again after reading that, but I'm not going to. But see, what's interesting here, Paul said he was weeping for them. You know, this was his church. He founded this church. These were kind of his spiritual babies. And, you know, one thing that's hard for a pastor, and I speak from experience, it's hard for a pastor to watch when his sheep are straying, when they're getting out and, you know, getting into trouble. You know, Paul had poured his life into these people. He walked away from everything. And he went out and tried to start these churches. And when he did it, he just poured his life. And many times he had to work, you know, with his hands full time as a tent maker and, you know, and then probably preach the gospel at night. That's just how much he loved and cared about people who were separated from God. You know, when we started this church, I've watched a few people fall away, but it's kind of a joke. Some of the old ones are here because it's not funny, but it is kind of ironic. But every now and then somebody would stand up in the church and I'd say, Pastor. I mean, this is like after worship. I didn't interrupt anything, but Pastor, I'm right behind you. I'm gonna follow you. We're gonna follow you no matter what. Well, they were following me all right. They were so far, you know, we're behind you. We're right behind you. Well, they were so far behind me, I couldn't even see them no more after a while. I mean, they usually just fell away because they were in the works righteousness. It was about their flesh. And then when their flesh didn't get their way, they went out and played. And see, that's what we got to be careful about, because sometimes, you know, in the things of God, you know, that, you know, we won't get it our way. We have to get it God's way. And that's important because, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to drop out of the race. The Bible says in the last times, many will fall away. Now, this may ruffle some feathers. Our doctrine, we don't believe in eternal security in the sense we believe that you have a free will and that you can choose not to follow God if you want to. We call people stupid that do that. You know what I mean? Who would give up their eternity, you know, to go out and play in this world? You know, I know other denominations, they have workarounds around that and, you know, make excuses. Well, they were, you know, one of them is that if somebody falls away, they say, well, they probably weren't saved in the first place. I mean, we don't know that. God knows the heart. And there's enough scriptural evidence to show, you know, to be careful. So that's why we got to pay attention and try to stay away, you know, from the things that try to damage us. See, they called them enemies of the cross. You know, that's a pretty serious situation when Paul said that. You know, carnal Christians probably lead as many people to hell as the devil does because of their false representation of Jesus Christ. It's going to get better, people. Believe me, it's going to get better. I'm just kind of getting on hard now a little bit. But see, carnal Christians do a lot of damage to the body of Christ. They upset many people. You know, they profess being a Christian, but then they either live like the devil or live like the world. Either way, it brings a destruction, you know, to other people's lives because, you know, we're supposed to let our light shine, the light Jesus Christ has put inside of us. And, you know, we go around and, you know, a lot of people, you know, they post all this Christian stuff on Facebook and then the next time they're using the F word. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, what kind of witnessing are we doing here? You know, or they're wearing these Christian T-shirts and then they're, you know, being all rude to the cashier or something like that because they're not getting their way. You know, come on. You know, if you're going to, you know, that's why I don't put a Christian bumper sticker on my car, you know, just in case I drive too fast. You know what I'm saying? I don't want people, no, I'm just kidding. I know I don't drive fast in case any of the police are looking right now, right? I always stay within the speed limits. But here, you know, what it talks about is their God is their appetite. You know, their carnal cravings, the things, you know, Christians, you know, who hate self-denial, that will not take up their cross, you know, is a big burden to the body of Christ. You know, sometimes we just got to say no to ourselves and say no to that old nature. You know, and things of the world that try to pull us away, you know, we just got to learn how to say no to it and start to walk in victory because our flesh is the inner enemy that we all have to deal with. And it comes up every now and then. I don't know how it works for you, but I'll be cruising along for, you know, quite some time. Things are really going pretty spiritual in my life. Then all of a sudden, some kind of little ugly thing pops up. I go, what? Where's that been? I mean, how'd I have that, you know? Had it suppressed, something triggered me, and it just came out. You know, I don't beat myself up, but I get rid of it. You know what I mean? I jettison that cargo. I get rid of it. Lord, I repent. You know, if I've hurt somebody, I apologize. You know, just want to put that stuff behind me because I don't want my flesh to dominate. Then it goes on to say, as we break this passage down, it says, you know, whose glory is in their shame. You know, you kind of remember those guys and, you know, maybe you meet them at class reunions and they get together and all they talk about is the old days, how they drank this much or they did all these things, you know. They're like bragging on things that aren't good for them. You know what I mean? Things they wouldn't want their kids doing, probably. But see, that's what the carnal Christian does. They take pride in their fleshly endeavors and the things they do for self to try to make themselves come out better. See, carnal Christians pervert grace and make it a license to sin. See, there's a lot of people that believe in so much grace. They say, grace, 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 I can do anything I want. And then they go out and they cause people to fall away. You know, a lot of Christians go out and they engage in different things in the world. And one of the big, now I wasn't saved when I did this, but I'm going to tell you something silly I did. When I was first coming to Christ, I wasn't born again yet, but I would get liquored up a little bit and then I just want to talk about God. You know, I wasn't a very good witness. I mean, I was probably almost falling down drunk probably, but I wanted to talk about God. I wasn't going to win nobody. But there was something inside me God was starting to do. Then I learned that I had to, you know, that's probably not the best way to evangelize. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's better ways to evangelize than perverting the grace of God. It also says here their mindset is on earthly things. You know, things of this world. You know, Paul's mind was set on heavenly things. He was out wanting to, you know, preach the gospel and build up the kingdom of God. Remember, I shared this last week that we gravitate towards what we focus on. So I know, you know, we're supposed to have some fun down here. I'm not, you know, a lot of people misread what I'm saying. I'm not saying we can't enjoy, you know, the things of this world because God gave them to us to enjoy. I'm just saying don't let that be our main focus in life. Never should we let pleasure be our main focus. Our main focus should be on Jesus Christ and the cross. And all these other things, they'll just fall into place. We can go out and do things and enjoy ourselves, and that's great. Because Paul said in closing here, the idea of our citizenship is in heaven. You know, we have dual citizenship. You know, number one, I, for one, I'm an American. You know, that's my second citizenship now. I put my Christianity ahead of, I'm a citizen of heaven. When I'm a citizen of heaven, that means I have different priorities, different loyalties. Newsflash, I'm more loyal to God's kingdom than I am to the United States. I know that's not treason. That's just where I'm at right now. And I believe that's where every Christian needs to be. I do, you know, support, you know, the things of this world that I have to support. And, you know, I want things to go good. I want our country to do well. I want us to prosper and things like that because, you know, that's important. But to be honest, you know, I'm more focused on eternity than I am this right now because I believe that eternity is real. I believe the things of God are real. And that's where I need to kind of put my priority. Okay, now we're going to get to some good stuff. All right, that's what we should not do, some of it. Okay, now, Paul said here, remember last week we looked at how he's forgetting the stuff that's back there and he's, you know, looking ahead. But here's the mindset that we all need to have, and that's to press on. We need to press on. I don't know about you, but not every day I'm on fire for God. I don't know, maybe you are. God bless you, you know. But some days I don't feel it. Some days I have to faith it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I have to get the, you know, move in the things of God the way that I'm supposed to. Because Paul says here, I pressed on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is what the word press means to follow or to press hard after. We need to be going hard after God. That's just the way it works. You know, getting up and praying, getting up and reading the Word. You know, whatever your good time is that you're, you know, I'm a morning person, so that's my more creative time. So I like to get up and seek God first thing in the morning. That works for me. I press hard after that. Sometimes I don't feel like it, but I know I need to do it anyway. You know, I ask God, you know, we need to want it. We need to want it inside. Now, here's what I just tell everybody I run into when they tell me they don't feel like it. Ask God to help you feel like it. God will answer that prayer. You know, if you're somebody that, you know, I talking to the youth sometimes, you know, I can tell that they're not into it. You know what I'm saying? Well, if this is where you're at right now, you're not really wanting to go hard after God, your first prayer out of your mouth should be, God, help me to want this. Make me to want this. Give me a hunger. Give me a thirst inside for your things, Lord.
Help me to come after you. And he'll help you. He'll help you. Because that's where we need to be. We need to be going hard after God. And that's why Paul said he presses on, because sometimes we just have to keep going. And like I say, and those times we have, if we don't feel it, we have to faith it. What I found in life is intensity helps immensely when we're pursuing the things of God. However we need to do to stay intense after it. Because usually what we really love, we really go after. And that's why we need to ask God to help us to go after it. See, the pursuit of God gives significance to our journey in life. I chased a lot of things in the world. My goal was to make a lot of money and to do all these other things. And when I found out, you know what, there was something more, believe me, pursuing God and going after God gives significance to my life. It's something, because unless we're believing and we're following something that is bigger than ourselves, we're going to come short. Because there's things in this world that we're just not going to accomplish. We have to do it for God, because it says there's a prize for the upward call of God. And there's a prize that we want to go for. See, God's just not telling us to do something, but there's going to be a reward for it. You know, to walk in the blessings. You know, as Jason was sharing some of the things along the faith journey, you know, of our church and, you know, how we started and, you know, what all we did and all these other things. You know, there's a prize for that. You know, I remember, you know, I can still remember where I was standing a couple times, you know, and I said, God, I just don't know if I can keep going. God, this burden is too great for me to carry. You know, maybe you could get somebody else to come and take my place. But nobody came. What happened is God rearranged my attitude. He arranged my approach and what I was doing. And I'll be honest, the greatest thing that I've done in life is I just hang in there. You know what I mean? I just hang in there. I may not cross the finish line real flashy, but buddy, I'm crossing that line. I'm going to get there. I know I will. Because I just have this don't give up attitude. You know, and what I really see is, you know, it's the intensity that it's important, because, you know, don't just run to win. We need to run to win. You know, a lot of people just run to run. Well, I ran. No, you run to win. That's what Paul says. We got to run to win, because only one gets the prize. You know, I was raised on a farm out in the country and we had rock roads. I'd rather kick dust than lick dust. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'd rather be in the car that's in front. Anybody's driven on a rock road before? Car number two, not cool. All you do is eat dust. You know, either you got to pull over or just endure till you get to the concrete. You know what I mean? So I'd rather kick dust than lick dust. And see, that's the approach we need to have when we go after the things that God, we feel God's calling us to do. And also, it's good to pursue God with others who can cheer you on. You know, I think that each and every one of us probably needs an encouraging word sometimes, or maybe even a kick in the pants. Anybody ever need a kick in the pants? Praise God. We all do, don't we? You know, that's just something that as we go through life, there's some things, you know, that we maybe get a little lackadaisical about, and we need a little help there. Okay, the next point I want to look at is the right attitude, okay? First, Paul said he presses on. We're just going to exegetical, you know, breakdown of this passage right here. So the right attitude, it says right here in verse 15 starting, it says, let us therefore, as many are perfect, is anybody perfect here? Mm-hmm. Amen. That means mature. Doesn't mean you never make a mistake. It means you're more mature. Hopefully, you've been paying attention along the years, and we start to grow, and we start to get to where God wants us. So as many are perfect, have this attitude. So we need to have an attitude. Now, some people do have an attitude, you know, and that's why they get spanked, right? No, we need to have a good attitude. And it says, and if anything, you have a different attitude. This is what I love about it. God will reveal that also to you. We have to trust in that. See, that comes by relationship with God, that if we have something wrong. So like I said, perfect means mature and not blameless. So we need to walk in maturity. And to me, the best way to keep growing is to keep on going. Just keep on going after God. You'd be surprised how much you will learn just by paying attention and taking notes along the way. You know, I see people taking notes today.
And that's good. I always take notes when I go hear a preacher. I write stuff down, and then I'll go back later on and maybe reference that stuff a little bit. The biggest mistake, I've made a couple. You know, I spent years at Happy Church in Denver, Colorado, taking notes, and I cannot find my notes anywhere. Somehow in the move from Denver to here, they're gone. Denise still has hers. I think she threw mine away is what I think. I don't know. To make room. But anyway, I know she wouldn't do that. But yeah, I had all these awesome notes from, you know, when I first got saved. And back then I could still write halfway decent so you could read. And, you know, I don't have those anymore. You know, I don't know where they're at. But see, if you take notes and you start to write these things down, and then you start to look things over and meditate on them a little bit, you know, you can take for free what I had to go dig for, and then God will give you more. And you'll take what I've given you, and then you'll start to build on it, and then you're going to be in a place far better than I could be, because you have what I have, and then you have what you have. And see, that's what God wants you to do. See, we never need to stop learning. That's the attitude. Never stop getting better, no matter how old you are. One of the biggest grievances that I see in people's lives is when older Christians pull back from serving God and say, let somebody young do it. I've been doing it for years. You know, it makes sense. Yeah, let the young people do it. But here's what I see. God has invested 30 years in you, okay? 30 years or better, maybe 40. And now you're going to take all this knowledge and all this wisdom, and you're not going to share it no more. You're not going to give it to the next generation. That's selfishness. That's all it is. To me, it's selfishness. Because when we have all these things, you know, God wants us to share them, and especially with the next generation. And we should never stop getting better, and that means to be teachable. That means if we're not doing it right, let God change it. God, Paul said here, hey, if you got a different attitude than God has, hey, let God will reveal it to you. He'll let you know when you mess up. How many knows that? We all do. God lets us know when we mess up. We get that little grieving thing in the Holy Ghost when we say something wrong or do something wrong. And then, you know, no use beating yourself up over it. Just repent and go on. That's how we need to do. Just repent and go on. You know, and good attitude to me goes a long ways, especially when things get hard. I was talking to somebody whose job is very hard. Very stressing job. And, you know, they were kind of sharing, and I just shared, you know, hey, if you're working with other people, stay away from the negative Nellies, okay? Because your job's hard enough the way it is, you don't need to have somebody else make it any harder. You know, and if you can, try to turn your attitude around. You know, try to have a good attitude about it. And you'll get through it. You'll make it to the other end. And, you know, and as we stay away from those negative Nellies or whatever, or we get around them, you know, we just can't agree with them. You know, yes, we know it's hard. Yes, maybe we're understaffed. I mean, there's so many companies right now, you know, in the United States that are understaffed. They just can't get, I don't know where all the good people went. You know, all the employees went, you know. It just seems like nobody can hire anybody. And, you know, when you do hire somebody, I mean, some of them don't want to be there. Some don't really want to work. You know, have you ever went to a restaurant lately where the young person there didn't really want to be there, but evidently their parents made him get a job, you know? I'm not going to mention the name of the store, but man, it was a bad experience, you know. But we got to, you know, try to turn these things around in our life because, you know, we're exposed to all these things all the time. See, we don't live like the monks did in a monastery. See, when they got revelation from God back in the way back, they would go and be in a monastery, and some of them would build their monastery up on a mountain. And the only way they could get food is they'd have to lower a rope down. And to get food, there was really no way of getting there. They blocked the passages or whatever. And, you know, they would stay away from the world so they wouldn't be tainted by it. But see, they wasn't helping the world. They wasn't making a difference in the world. They wasn't bringing change. And how many know somebody may stop bringing you food every now and then? You know? But see, we need to be a people that want to make a difference. Now, lastly, I want to share a little bit about a high standard. Paul shares about a high standard. Now, it's important that we have high standards in life. And especially, you know, if you're single now or if you're a young person. You know, there's some decision, there's some worldly things that you're exposed to. You need to have a high standard so you don't get yourself, you know, into a situation where it's very difficult to get out. Paul said here, starting, you know, in verse 16, I believe, however, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Okay, Paul was sharing something here. Evidently, this church maybe was going through some things, and that's why Paul shared this portion in Philippians 3, which is actually really a letter to this church is what it was. And then later on, you know, people came in and put numbers and broke it all down how they seen fit. But see, Paul was sharing this letter with them, how they need to press on, how they need to keep going. So evidently, maybe they're discouraged, and you know, maybe you're discouraged today. Maybe things aren't really flowing the way that you want. Maybe you're not seeing things happen the way that you want to be in life. Well, you know, sometimes it's just that way. You know, I wish I could tell you that as a Christian that everything is going to be perfect in life. It's not. You're going to get a flat tire. Your car's going to break down. You're going to have to maybe fix your furnace, you know, or whatever the case may be. Somebody at work is going to be mean to you and try to stab you in the back. That's just the way it is. That's the ugly world that we live in. Those are things that we all just have to deal with. But, you know, we have to also remember that we need to stay in the way that God wants us, and that's to have that high standard, a high standard. You know, you need to set that today. If you don't have a standard set, you need to set one. First one might be to never compromise your integrity. Never compromise your integrity. See, it's what we do when no one is watching tells what kind of a person we are. You know, a lot of people can be very spiritual in the light, but what happens when the light's turned off? You know, we want to be the kind of person, see, God sees our heart whether we're in the light or the dark, right? God knows our heart, and that's the only one we really need to impress in life. I mean, that's the one that we want to serve, and that's the one that we want to please, you know, in a sense, because, you know, we love Him. So we need to keep our integrity as an important thing as we start this new year. Maybe your integrity has been a little shoddy. You know, maybe there's some things that you've done and corners you've cut, you know, in life. And, you know, we need to maybe, all you need to do is repent and let go of those things. And because we never want to lower our standard just because everybody else does, okay? Just because you work around people with low standards doesn't mean you have to be that kind of person. You know, I know somebody I know very good at work, they take it pretty serious, you know what I mean? I mean, they're really serious about what they do, and they want to do it in excellence. Well, the other people they work with, let's just say they don't care. Have you ever worked with somebody that doesn't care? You know, they just kind of, this is that. This is good. Oh, that's good enough. Well, this person, you know, is pretty intense about it. They want to do right. They want to make sure the customer's taken care of. Well, they kind of make, the other employees kind of make fun of them at work a little bit because this person has a high standard. Don't compromise, though. We're not there to impress the people we work with, right? No. We're to do the best we can by what we feel God telling us to do. You know, and I'm going to share something really kind of stupid. I haven't shared it for a long time, but I thought of this the other day. You know, I did some electric work, still do a little bit, but, you know, primarily, and this is going to sound weird, I thought I was the best electrician in the world. That was my attitude. Now, that was in my heart. Now, in my head, I knew I wasn't. I wasn't insane. You know what I mean? I knew I wasn't the best electrician in the world. But in my heart, I said I was. Because I always wanted to do the best. Whenever I went to a job, you know, there's people, employees that were there way ahead of me. And when the job got slow, I was the last man on the job. Because I was there for one reason, to do my best and to make my boss money. That's why he hired me. That was my job. And I wanted to do the best I could. I wanted to make sure everything was straight and, you know, level and, you know, plumb and level. I tried to make sure everything was done well. I didn't want anything broken.
you know, or left haphazard. I didn't, you know, throw broken things, you know, and try to hide them. I've made sure they were right because I had a standard. Whether that standard came from my parents probably growing up a little bit, or also the idea, you know, after I come to know God especially, you know, I really believe in a high standard. Yeah, I know we're going to fail. I know we're going to stumble. And like I said, I'm not insane. I know I wasn't the best electrician. There's people a lot smarter than me. But far as my desire, that's the only thing I could measure. I measured my desire. And see, that's what we need to measure, you know, when we're going after God. We desire to do what's right. See, just because other people have low standards, you know, we shouldn't, you know, follow them. Paul said, you know, to follow his example. Paul was the kind of guy who just kept going. He had like pit bull faith. He just grabbed a hold and just kept on coming. And see, that's the attitude that we need to have. Paul may have been beaten with rods. He may have been stoned. He ran out of many towns, but he just went to the next town. He just kept coming. And see, that's what we need to be, is the people to follow his example. And maybe you're here today and maybe you're just starting out, you know, or maybe some things haven't went your way. I'd say to find somebody godly, hang around them and just follow them. That's what Paul said, follow me. You know, I'm not perfect, but I know where I'm heading. I'm heading towards God. I'm heading towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, that's the most important thing. The upward call of God, whatever that means to you, wherever that is in your world, whatever it is that God's called you to do, we need to get to that position, to that place in life, and so we can be open to be able to receive, you know, God's blessing. So as we're thinking about pressing on through in 22, you know, I want this year, you know, to be a year that we're just going to keep on coming. We're not going to stop. We're going to make the Terminator look like a lazy dog. You know what I'm saying? He just kept coming, didn't he, in them movies? But we need to keep on coming after God. Doesn't matter what the devil throws in front of us. We're just coming after God. He may throw something in front of us, jump over to go around it, but just keep coming after God. Pressing on through in 22, getting to where God wants you to be. You know, decide now that this is going to be your best year yet. Everybody's whining about the COVID or whining about the pandemic. We had a great year last year, and I believe this year is going to be even better. You know, God can do that because I live in the world, but yet I live in God's system too. And in God's system, it just works different. It's something you just have to experience when you tap into God's ways. You know, there's going to be them barriers and obstacles. They're going to fall this year. You know, choose to have that faith. Just grab a hold and not let go. You know, live to win instead of living not to lose. You know, let's don't play it too safe this year. Let's really reach out and see what God has. Let's see where our faith will take us. I believe we're going to go onward and upward and not backward and downward. Because I believe we serve a mighty God. And he's going to take us this year and we're going to experience things that we never thought we ever could. Let's pray.